Father, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts to behold wondrous things out of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. The largest passenger ship in 1912 was the Titanic. The ship that I think we're probably all familiar with. I think it beat the record by like a half a foot or something like that. But it was technically the largest passenger ship in 1912, 883 feet long, said to be unsinkable by many people because of the sheer size and technological advancements of this ship, but we all know how it turned out, right? All it took to bring down that floating fortress was a piece of floating ice, one iceberg. The ship may have been 883 feet long, but the iceberg was, by some estimates, as much as 100 feet high above the water. Now, when you say that, you know, 883-foot ship, 100-foot iceberg, doesn't sound like that big of a piece of ice until you realize that 90% of an iceberg's mass is below the surface. So think about that. It's 100 feet high above the surface. You can imagine how big this thing was below the water. The real threat to the Titanic wasn't the 10% that was visible. It was the 90% that was not visible, lurking beneath the surface. And that's really almost a parable for life, isn't it? Surface level problems are almost always much bigger below the surface. That's true for icebergs, and it's true when it comes to sin. And that's really Jesus' point in verses 43 to 45. Although he doesn't use icebergs, I don't think they had a lot of those floating around the Sea of Galilee. He uses the illustration of trees and fruit. And notice how he begins his illustration in verse 43. Verse 43 begins with the word "for," which indicates that he is now expanding on and explaining what he just got done talking about, namely the illustration about the log and the speck that he just gave in the context of mercy and judging. So why is a healthy self-examination of sin in our own lives necessary in order that we might be in a position to help others address sin in their lives? That was Jesus' point last week. If we don't address the log in our own eyes, we won't be able to see clearly to address the speck in somebody else's eyes. That's what Jesus was getting at. And the reason that's so important to do self-examination, to look at our own lives first, is because sin runs deep in our hearts. And we need to be inspecting the fruit in our own lives before we ever begin to inspect the fruit in someone else's. And that's Jesus' point. So he's reinforcing the point last week about self-examination. But now here's the question. How does this tree fruit illustration reinforce the point he made last week? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at the illustration. Verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. So notice what Jesus is doing here. It's a very simple, very straightforward illustration. Just notice what he's doing. Two kinds of tree, right? You've got a good tree and a bad tree. There's not like a middle tree there. There's either good or bad, two types of tree. And then there are two kinds of fruit, good fruit and bad fruit. And there's a necessary corresponding organic relationship between the two. That's very important. Good trees produce good fruit. They are organically related to one another, necessarily so. Okay, good trees give you good fruit. Bad trees give you bad fruit. Good trees don't produce bad fruit. Bad trees don't produce good fruit. So it's very black and white. It's very either or here. You're either a good tree that produces good fruit. You're a bad tree that produces bad fruit. And just as thorn bushes don't give you grapes, so bad trees don't give you good fruit. Last evening, we were at our dinner table, and I was talking to the kids, and I asked them, how can you tell an apple tree from a peach tree? And there was a reward attached to this. If you could get the answer to it, you got a treat. All right? And I could tell the two older ones were really thinking hard about this. I think they were going in their minds to geography. Well, where in the country do we find peach trees? And I could tell the neurons were firing. And then Alea just very quickly raised her hand. She says, well, just look for apples. Yeah, that's right. Just look for apples. Right? How do you identify an apple tree? Well, that one's got apples on it. I think it may be an apple tree. Right? So this is not rocket science. We don't need to overthink it. Jesus is on our level here. Right? How do you identify an apple tree? You look at the fruit. Right? Look at what Jesus says. Each tree is known by its own fruit. You inspect the fruit. It's going to clue you in to what kind of tree it is and to the health of the tree. You recognize a good tree by looking for good fruit. You recognize a bad tree by looking for bad fruit. And again, that method works because there is an organic relationship between the tree and the fruit. All right, you're not going to go find an apple tree with peaches on it. You're not going to find a bad tree with good fruit on it. That's Jesus' point. Okay, so that's the illustration. That makes sense. But now, how is he using the illustration? What's the point of the illustration? Well, it's not a lesson on horticulture. Okay, it's a metaphor. What do the trees represent? Well, the trees are us. The trees are people. And the fruit are the words that come from our mouths and the action that flow from our heart. Our words and our actions are the fruit. We are the trees. And the point Jesus is making is simply this. There is a necessary organic consistency between what's inside of us and what comes out of us. A necessary organic consistency between what's in here and what comes out here. Now that may be simple, but it is an incredibly profound insight into the human condition. Just consider that for a second. Consider what this teaches us about the depth of sin in human beings. What Jesus is saying is this. Sin is not just what we do. Sin is what we are. People don't just do bad things. People are bad. We're not just sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's the relationship. The fruit is bad because the tree is bad. Not the other way around. Sin isn't just what we do and say. Sin is who we are. Now take a second and think about that. Take what Jesus is teaching us here and answer the following question with this insight. All right, here's the question. Why do you say bad things to other people? Maybe you asked yourself that question this week. You said something you regret, and you ask yourself, why do I say stuff like that? Why do I speak that way to my spouse, to my child, to my parent, maybe to somebody you just don't like? Why do we say bad things to other people? Now think about it for a second. How do we typically answer that? How do we often hear people answer that question? How have maybe you answered that question at times. When we say things like this, we say, I don't know why I said that. That's not me. You know, anytime there is a public apology on the news, that's always said, that's not me. That's not who I am. Right? I don't know who said that. Some other person. Right? But that's not me. Don't we say that? Don't you hear that said in the context of a so-called apology? That's not me. Or, you know what? It's been a crazy week. And I haven't had much sleep. I've been under a ton of stress. That was really just the stress talking. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that how we account for bad things that we say or bad things that we do? Now, don't misunderstand. Sure, things like that can contribute to the loosening of the lips, right? Stress, drink, anger, difficult people, difficult situations can all help contribute to loosening the tongue, right? But listen, none of those things are the fundamental problem with us as human beings. They may loosen the tongue, but listen, nothing comes out of our mouth that wasn't already in our heart to begin with. Nothing comes out of our mouth that wasn't already in our heart to begin with. It's not something else. It's not the stress. It's me. I'm the one who said that. That was in my heart. That's how I felt. That was what I was thinking. That's what I intended. That was me. Sin is not just what we say and do. Sin is who we are. Listen again to how Jesus says it. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Alternatively, the evil person, and just hear the word evil, okay? We don't tend to associate evil with ourselves, but no, we are evil. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For, why? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The reason we say and do bad things is because of the bad and evil that is in our hearts. There is an organic consistency between what we say and what we do and what is going on in the depths of our heart. The fundamental problem goes much deeper than mere words and actions. Our fundamental problem is in here. That's what Jesus is getting at. Now just think with me of the implications of that. If the fruit is bad because the tree is bad, if the fruit is bad because the tree is bad, then we will never find lasting growth and change in our lives in the fruit until there is fundamental growth and change in the tree. Or put it another way, there will never be a fundamental change in the tree by focusing merely on the quality of the fruit. Merely changing behavior does nothing to address the fundamental problem within the heart. Paul Tripp gives a great illustration. He's just kind of turning the diamond on Jesus' illustration as he makes this point. He says, pretend I have an apple tree, okay? Suppose I've got an apple tree in my backyard, and every year that apple tree grows these tough, dry, brown, pulpy, inedible apples, okay? That's not that far off from how I do plants and yard work, by the way. But, okay, so suppose I had an apple tree, that's what it would look like, right? Brown, inedible, hard, tough, apples nobody wants to eat. Worthless apples. Now, suppose Katie says to me, why don't we even have that tree? Right? It never gives us good fruit. It's always bad apples. Why don't we even have it here? Let's just cut it down and have a bonfire with it. So I think about that for a few days, and I finally come up with a solution, a brilliant solution. And so the following Saturday, I take action, okay? And then Katie looks out the window of the dining room, and she sees me in the backyard carrying the following items. Note carefully the items that I'm carrying into the backyard. Number one, a ladder. All right, number two, some branch cutters. Number three, a nail gun. And number four, 3 bushels of Red Delicious apples. Okay? And I'm carrying this to the backyard. As she watches me climb the ladder of up to the tree and begin to cut off branches and cut off bad apples, and then I begin to carefully and symmetrically nail those Red Delicious apples onto the tree. Now, when people drive past the house and they look in the backyard, they may see a good-looking tree and think that I am a horticultural genius. What does my wife think looking at me out the window? She knows better, right? She always knows better, by the way. That's an important point. But just think about that. What's going to happen to those apples that I nail to that tree? What's going to happen? They're going to rot, right? They're eventually going to fall off the tree. And then what's going to happen next season? Next season, the tree is going to produce the same bad, dry, tough, brown, pulpy, nasty, inedible apples. Because no fundamental change has taken place with the health of the tree. Friends, there's always an organic consistency between what is in our hearts and what is in our words and our actions. But so often we pursue change in our own lives, and even in the lives of other people, by doing nothing more than apple nailing. Isn't that what we do? Psychology is called behavioralism. All you got to do is change the behavior. As long as there is an organic consistency between the health of the tree and the quality of the fruit, that will never work. You may get temporary outward appearance that everything's cool and healthy, but come next season, you're going to get the same bad fruit until something radically changes in the health of the tree. We content ourselves with surface level efforts when the real problem in our lives is 10,000 feet below the surface in the deep and dark recesses of the human heart. Sin runs deep, and we will never see lasting change in our lives or in the lives of others if we don't go deep into the heart when addressing it. But as deep as sin runs, here's the good news of the gospel. As deep as sin runs, the good news of the kingdom is this: grace runs even deeper. Just think about what this implies about the depth of God's grace in Christ. Here's the question, how does a bad tree ever become a good tree? Right? If you're grasping Jesus' point, you should be asking the question, then how does anybody go from being a bad tree to becoming a good tree? Now, it's not by tinkering around with the fruit. That's plain. Jesus has made that plain. You can't change the tree by tinkering around with the fruit. You can't change fundamentally by merely changing your behavior. I'm just going to stop saying bad things. That's not going to last. I'm going to stop looking at bad things. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. And that's going to be temporary at best. You cannot change from a bad tree to a good tree merely by addressing behavior. So how? Okay? How do we, who come into this world as bad trees, how do we ever become good trees? Well, there's only one possible answer to that question. We have to be transformed into a good tree. And that's precisely the transforming grace of Christ that turns a hard, dead, evil heart into a soft, living, forgiven, transformed, and redeemed heart. That's why Jesus says, you cannot enter the kingdom unless you're born again. Think about new birth. New birth means before the new birth, there's no life. Remember the context of the sermon? Jesus is preaching to members of his kingdom. He's preaching to people who are already in the kingdom. In other words, he's preaching to good trees. How did they become good trees? Did they get into the kingdom by tinkering around and producing enough good fruit? No, they were a bad tree. Jesus, you didn't get into the kingdom, but because you went from being a bad tree by your own self-effort and then got yourself to become a good tree, and then you had enough good fruit that you got into the kingdom. That is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you're a good tree because I brought you into the kingdom. What you can't do for yourself, fundamentally, I did. When I caused you to be born again, when I took out the disease of the tree, and I put in life-giving, thriving, good sap that then flowed through the tree and enabled you to produce the kind of fruit that you're now seeing in your life. Here's how 1 Peter 1 describes members of the kingdom and how we get into it. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to that. Every word of this, listen. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How did you get into the kingdom? How did you get born again? Did you do anything to contribute to any of that? According to myself, no, according to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again. He took us from spiritual death and he raised us together with Christ to spiritual life. He took bad trees producing inedible, worthless fruit. Tree that should be cut down and thrown into the fire and burned. He took trees like you and me, bad trees, and he transformed us and he made us good trees. Because of his great mercy. Now just meditate on it for a second. Let this sink deep within your soul. Think about that. Think about this in light of what we've just seen about the depths of sin. If sin goes that deep, how much deeper must the grace of Christ go in order to begin reversing and forgiving and redeeming and transforming you, not just in your words, not just in your actions, but in your heart? Because every believer in Christ is a good tree. They not only ought to produce good fruit. Think about this. They not only ought to produce good fruit, they necessarily will produce good fruit. That is tremendous hope if you are a Christian here struggling to see good fruit in your life, struggling with sin, struggling with your attitude, struggling with your words, struggling with your actions. Jesus is saying, look, you are in the kingdom. You are a good tree. Yes, there is still sin in your life, but you are fundamentally new and changed. And now, as a Christian, there is an organic consistency between the transforming grace of the Holy Spirit deep within your heart and the Holy Spirit wrought fruit that flows from it. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a member of Christ's kingdom. Do you see how this explodes any concept of Christianity that sees Christianity as basically adopting a new set of rules, a new moral code? There is no fundamental change in a human being by religion. The only way that we can be changed is by the gospel. And praise God, sin runs deep, but grace runs deeper. The Christian evangelist Jack Miller used to always say to people, cheer up, you are much worse than you think. Right? You ever heard him say that? You ever heard that before? You're a much worse sinner than you think. But you know what that means? That means that you are more loved than you could ever possibly imagine. That's really just another way of saying sin runs deep. Deeper than you know. But grace runs even deeper. And what Jesus is saying to us is this. We need to keep both truths, the depths of sin and the depths of grace, in clear sight as we pursue change in our lives or in the lives of others. And that's really the application, isn't it? That's what Jesus has been getting at. A healthy, gospel-centered self-evaluation that keeps both truths in sight as we engage in self-examination. He intends for us as citizens of His kingdom to go beyond merely behavioral changes. He wants us to go below the surface, and He wants us to go to the fundamental issues of the heart as we pursue growth and change. But He never intends for us to do that and lose sight of the fact that we are already citizens of His kingdom by grace. Beloved, sin runs deep, but Christ's all-sufficient, all-satisfying, all-powerful transforming grace runs even deeper. So pursue change on the heart level, because you are a good tree. And you will, by the grace of Christ, produce good fruit. Let's pray. Father, in a moment we're going to sing these words in prayer, and so we just begin now by praying them to You. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for taking bad trees and making them into good trees, and giving us everything that we stand in need of to produce good fruit. We take no credit, no glory, no merit from the fruit that we produce, because we know that the only reason we produce that fruit is because of the organic consistency with the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Magnify the grace of the Spirit in us this week, we pray. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.